Good evening. I was asked to preach, I believe it was a week and a half ago or so, by Brother Rick. And at the time, I wondered if I would have enough time to adequately prepare, being as it was coming towards the end of school. I had a lot of deadlines, things I was getting done. But I decided to go ahead and prepare and preach, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity that the eldership here has allowed me to be able to stand before you this evening and to preach a portion of God's Word. This evening, we're going to be managing media in our homes or in our lives. And let me say at the outset that as the more I've studied this topic and the more I've looked at it, I believe this topic may be more imperative at this time in the history of mankind, more so than it has ever been. And so this evening what I'd like to do is consider 5 points. Point number one, we'll look at what is media? What are we talking about? Point number two, how is that media influencing our lives? Point number three, time, the time that we're spending with media, what is that time worth? And number four, what are we absorbing when we're looking at the media? Junk in, junk out. And number five, practical suggestions to how we can manage that media in our lives. And so to begin, because I believe this topic can be very emotional, it can stir up a lot of emotion in some individuals because it can be very personal. And so I want us to remember that Mark 12 verse 30 gives us the greatest command, that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And I want to encourage you to think about this verse as we begin this lesson and keep that in the back of your mind and to let that kind of be your guide and steering point, because it may be the case that throughout this material that there needs to be changes made in your life. And I want to encourage you to remember that our love for God should outweigh anything else that ever we encounter in this world. So the first question, what is media? Well, media comes from the plural form. It's the plural form of the word medium. Now, when I think of the word medium, it's simply a mode of transportation to carry information. And so, for example, in physics, right, when I speak, the words that come out of my mouth, they represent waves, refractions in the air that travels through the medium, which is air, to your ears, and you pick up the information that I give you. So this very situation we have right here where I'm preaching, that is a form of media. And dictionary.com defines it simply as the means of communication, as radio, television, newspaper, magazines that reach or influence people widely. So this could refer to what we have nowadays, social media, things like Facebook, things like Twitter, Pinterest, our cell phones, it can be the radio, it can be newspaper, any way in which we receive information, that is a form of media. And I want to say up front, media inherently in and of itself is not bad. There's nothing wrong with media in and of itself. In fact, it can be used for a lot of good. But we understand that with all things, we have to manage it and make sure that's being used correctly and accordingly. So to begin, I want to give you all some statistics, and I'm primarily going to be focused on the form of media that refers to television or video. There's various forms of videos that we watch today, such as Netflix or YouTube, on tablets, cell phones, but primarily TV. And so in 1949, 2% of U.S. homes had television. Just a couple years later, in 1955, that number increased to 64%. 1968, there was 93%. In 2007, 98% of homes had a television within that household. Today, over 99% of households have a television within their home. Now, it's probably actually, I believe I read, it was over 70% that have over two televisions in their home. But the point being, television is available to pretty much anyone, regardless of financial stability. They have access to watching cable or satellite television in their homes. Now, I hope as we go through these statistics, they shock you, as they did me. First, I want to look at how much people are actually watching TV. The average American watches approximately 4 hours of TV, according to A.C. Nelson Company. Those are the ones who moderate television statistics. That accounts to 28 hours per week or 2 months per year. That boils down to 1/6 of a person's life per year is spent watching television. So I did a couple calculations, and if someone lived for 18 years, that would be 3 years of their life spent watching TV. If they lived 36 years, that would be 6 years watching TV. Live 60 years, that would be 10 years watching TV. And the average life expectancy in America today is 78.7 years. If someone watched TV at that rate for their entire lifespan, that would account to 13.12 years of their life sitting in front of a television set staring at a screen. I hope you find that as alarming as I found, and I hope you find these statistics here as alarming as well. The percentage of Americans that regularly watch television while eating dinner is 66%. The number of minutes per week that the average child watches television is 1,680 minutes. Hours per year the average American youth spends in school, 900 hours. The hours per year the average American youth watches television, 1,500. Nearly double the amount that kids are learning is from a television rather than in school. Number of minutes per week that parents spend in meaningful conversation with their children is 3.5 minutes. And I hope this one shocks you as well. The percentage of 4 to 6 year olds who, when asked to choose between watching TV and spending time with their fathers, preferred watching TV, 54%. Now, I'm not a father, but these statistics are so shocking to me that they spark in me that desire that I don't want to be a part of these statistics. And I hope that can be said of you as well. I want to ask the question, what is time worth? What is time worth to you? You know, we've heard it said that time is money. And I think that's very true. I looked up what the average household income was in 2011 for the U.S. Census Bureau, and the average household income was about $70,000. Well, if someone spent 60 years working, and that may be a little over-exaggerated, but that would account to about $700,000 that you would have lost that because you spent watching TV rather than you could have been working. And I think the question in that scenario ought to be asked, what could the Lord's church do with that kind of money? And I would dare say there's a lot. There's a lot what we could do. In fact, I believe that this idea of stewardship, that is managing our time, managing our money, is a theme taught throughout the Bible. And in fact, we're probably all familiar with the parable of the talents, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 29. And as you may remember, there's the master, and he has three servants. And the first servant, he comes to and he gives him 5 talents. And he tells him to go and to trade and sell. And so he goes and trades and sells and borrows, and he comes back with 10 talents. And the master says, good job. You did well with these talents. Comes to the second servant. He gives him 3. According to his measure, he goes there and he uses those talents to go buy, sell, and trade, and comes back and gains 3 more. And then the third servant, he gives 1 talent, according to his ability, and he goes and he buries it in the ground. And when the master comes back, he's very displeased with this servant, and takes his talent away and gives it to the man with 5 talents. Now, in this case, the talent is money. But really the whole context is the idea of what God gives us, we are to be good stewards with, and use it wisely and accordingly. And so I think that it would not be far-fetched to say that when God gives us time, He expects us to use that time wisely. And He expects us to be good stewards of that time and use it in such a way that would glorify and honor Him. Now, notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that it's wrong to watch television. I'm not saying that it's wrong to relax. And if television was your means of relaxation, that it's wrong to engage in that form of relaxation. No, absolutely not. The Bible teaches us that we do have the ability to relax. In fact, the very word recreation means to recreate, to renew. And God Himself did this. When He created the world 6 days, on the 7th day, He rested. Okay? In the Old Testament, He gave the Sabbath day as a means for rest. In Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 31, we have an example where Jesus tells His apostles to take a rest. It says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while.'" So is recreation bad? No. Recreation has a purpose. But notice even God, the amount that He rested was 1/7 of that total time. That's less than 1/6 of the time spent just watching television by the average American in the United States. So we may ask the question, is it worth it to sacrifice the time that we spend watching TV to use that time for other things? Is it worth sacrificing the time to watch television? Is it worth sacrificing that to spend more time with family? You know, today, probably more than ever in American history, the family is being attacked. The family is crumbling. Is it worth sacrificing time with the TV to spend more time studying God's Word? I dare say that if you went into the majority of churches in the United States of America and you asked for the individuals there who came on a regular basis to raise their hand, if they read their Bible daily on a consistent basis, that you could probably get less than 10% of individuals who consistently and regularly read and study God's Word. But yet we spend 4 hours a day, the average American, watching television. Is it worth sharing the gospel with someone? Sacrificing that time watching TV to go share the gospel with someone and help spread the good news. I'll point out later, we're not growing here in the United States of America. The church and whatever branch of Christendom you look at is declining. Is it worth edifying someone in need? Brethren, we need to be there for each other for support. We don't need to be constantly glued to something like a television 28 hours a week. We may ask the question also, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus spend his time? And thankfully, we don't have to wonder about that because Christ told us in John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, point number four, junk in, junk out. Before we look at basically what kind of media is being portrayed in society today, I want to ask you this question to stick in the back of your head as we go through this material. And it's a question that I constantly refer back for myself. And that is, should we allow ourselves to be entertained by the things that sent Jesus to the cross? And I hope if you're honest with yourself, the answer is a clear no, we should not. And you probably heard the saying, junk in, junk out, garbage in, garbage out. But what you allow into your mind is what you're going to think on. And what you think on will quickly become your words. What you speak, that'll become your actions. Your actions will become a habit, and your habit will become a destiny. Basically, what you allow yourself to feed on is going to basically dictate the type of person you're going to be at the end of the day. Now, this is a biblical principle. It's found in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. He says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. God cares what we put in. In fact, he cares about it so much that in Genesis, he destroyed the entire earth with a flood because the heart of man was on evil continually. That's constantly what he was thinking on. Well, how did he get that way? It had to be from his environment, what he allowed in, what dictated his thoughts in his heart, and what he thought about continuously. And so if you go and you look at what is in the media today, I looked at the top six shows, according to TV Insider, from 2014 to 2015. It was The Walking Dead, Empire, Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, How to Get Away with Murder, and Game of Thrones. Now, originally, I thought I would go through each of these and actually explain what they were, but as I was actually looking at them and looking at the content of some of these, I had to stop because it was so inappropriate that it would cause me to have impure thoughts just simply reading about it. Nearly all of these contain profusive amounts of vulgarity, language, sexual content. The Empire, Modern Family, How to Get Away with Murder, Game of Thrones all predict homosexual characters and predict them in a positive light. In fact, Game of Thrones might as well just be classified as pornography. If we look at the progression of music, this is something I found from Focus in the Family, which I found to be a very interesting. If you start back in 1964 and you ask, what were the kind of songs being played as related to, so say, relationships? In 1964, you had the Beatles sing, I Want to Hold Your Hand. In 1967, the Rolling Stones made a bolder overture with Let's Spend the Night Together. In 1972, the Raspberries encouraged the object of their affection to go all the way. In 1975, metaphorically speaking, Jethro Tull looks forward to a bungalow in the jungle. 1981, even more to the point, Olivia Newton-John beckons her lover to get physical. In 1987, subtlety completely disappears with George Michael's brazen declaration, I want your sex. 1991, Color Me Bad crudely and unflinchingly declares, I want to sex you up. 1994, exactly 30 years after the Beatles' first proposed hand-holding, R&B artist R. Kelly scores a best-selling single with a sexual descriptive ode to encourse Bump and Grind. 1999, Cisco's Randy's Obsessions appear in Thong Song and Ode to Women's Underwear. 2005, My Humps finds Will I Am of the Black Eyed Peas' Ogling Lady Lumps. 2006, Nelly Furtado may act coy, but a casual hookup is inevitably on Promiscuous. 2008, Katy Perry encourages same-sex experimentation in her smash hit, I Kissed a Girl. 2009, Jeremiah offers his girl a gift of birthday sex, and fans get the graphic play-by-play. Friends, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to turn on the radio today and see what America is listening to today and what America is feeding into their minds on a regular basis. And the truth is, when we look at America today, we're a sexualized nation. We're a vulgar nation. Interview I saw the other day with Ted Cruz, and I thought he said it very well. He was asked about recent decision of our Supreme Court to allow homosexual marriage. And he said, I don't get why the news is always asking about this, always talking about it. It seems like our nation is, all they can talk about is sex. They're just obsessed with a sexualized nation. And I want to ask the question, if we're listening to this thing, not only is it the consequences of us feeding that into our head and we're thinking about that, but when we listen to it, we show approval to it, or we watch it, we show approval to it. Romans chapter 1, Paul, church there at Rome, and he lists several things that are sinful, and he points out things like homosexuality and these things that they were engaged in, adultery, fornication. But notice the very last verse in that chapter. It says, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What's Paul saying? He's saying, you may not be doing it, but if you are enjoying what someone else is doing that's sinful, then you're just as guilty of it. And so if we're going to sit by and pretend like it's okay for us to listen to songs that constantly talk about sex, that profanity, nothing that a Christian has any business listening to, or watching movies or TV shows of that nature, friends, we are encouraging the very behavior which sent Christ to the cross. And for that, we should be ashamed and we should change our ways. So what is the result of all of this? What is the result of the media's influence over the past 60 years? You know, we've come a long way from I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver and the Andy Griffith to the shows that we have on TV today being watched. Newest statistics says that approximately 60% of Americans now accept homosexuality. And that makes sense if we've been allowing children for the past 6 years to constantly watch media, and the things on media portray Christianity in a negative light and they portray homosexuality in a positive light. Christianity in America is declining. Islam and atheism, they're growing. We're becoming a sexualized nation. In fact, you know, now a character in a TV show who remains a virgin, that's criticized and condemned, and they're portrayed as a character who's uncool. To give you some statistics here, just from 2007 to to be Christian, not those who actively lived a Christian life by any means, but those who simply profess to believe in Christianity, that's declined by about 7.8%. Nearly every single category. Yes, agnostics, nothing in particular. Hindu, Muslim, they're all growing. And again, ask the question, why? Is this really any surprise when as much time watching television and the content that's on television, is it any surprise what has caused and what has changed our homes in the United States of America today? Is it any wonder that when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi that he gave this heed or this instruction? He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Point is, what we allow in dictates what we're going to believe and how we're going to act. And we need to make sure that we're managing what we allow to come into our homes. Is it really surprising? If you look over the past 2 years, I recently watched a documentary and I encourage you to go watch it if you have time. Who have simply said, we don't want to participate in to a same-sex union. Persecuted. They've lost their jobs. No one will come and visit them. Christian memorials, like ACLU and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, are avidly seeking to destroy and to remove. Businesses support contraceptives that aid in abortion, such as Hobby Lobby. You may remember the past few years, they have punished for praying or reading the Bible in school. You know, now I think more than ever, 1 Peter 5, we need to consider carefully. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeing that the devil, and he's winning. Satan into our homes through constantly impacting children from a very young age. We have to be sober and we have to be vigilant. And it starts with managing the influence of the world through the media in the home. So now we may ask the question, how? How do we manage the media? How do we manage the attacks of Satan? How do we strengthen our families? How do we strengthen the church? How do we go about doing that? Well, I submit to you that, one, we have to be willing to love God and to love the world less. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so it may be the case that you need to sacrifice or get rid of things like a television in your home. Now, I'm not, understand what I'm not saying. I'm not aren't able to manage that. And if that's the case, then as God has instructed in other places, it needs to be taken away. Point number two, we have to be willing to cut out and get rid of the things. Remove your way far from her and do not go near. If it's causing us to stumble, there's something that's causing us to not grow closer to God, but rather remove us from God, we have to be willing to cut it out and get rid of it in our lives. We need to have the attitude of David. In Psalm 101, verses 1 through 4, hear the words of David. He said, "I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the works of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness." Brethren, I submit to you, if we take on that heart, we can manage media and we can overcome the fiery darts of Satan. Now, again, there's things that can help us manage media in our home. And what I find is not very many people are actually aware of this, but there's things such as ClearPlay that will allow you to filter out the immoral content that you find in DVDs or TV shows. And for a small monthly fee, you can constantly things suitable to watch and enjoy. And we need to know about these things. We need to point number three. How we can manage media in our home. Number three, we need to use our time wisely and fill our lives with more spiritually uplifting things. This means taking time to study God's Word. This means taking time to have family devotionals. You know, this summer I spent some time in Alabama with Press and his family. And one of the things that I found very interesting at his home was they made it a point to have family devotionals every day on a regular basis. Now, that didn't mean that necessarily someone had to go and plan a 5 to 10 minute. Having a quick discussion and then saying a prayer together. I would encourage that we spend more time engaging in such activities as that and less time watching television. That in no way benefits us spiritually if we're watching the type of stuff that's coming regularly on television today. And the third subpoint, number three, we need to spend more time in equipping the saints. You know, it's no question that student or Christians, once they grow up and they leave the home, that over one third of them are leaving. My generation, the millennials, over one third who were once raised Christians have now left. Wouldn't time spent better preparing for the fiery darts of Satan when you get to college, wouldn't that time be spent better preparing for that rather than watching television, which aids in no way? Psalm 111, this is the attitude we need to have. We need to hide God's Word in our heart, sin against Him. You know, there's a lot of resources that we can watch rather than just watching the things that cable television or dish television provide. 4/7, a live. Same thing. Biblical Truth, the YouTube channel, which this congregation supported. There's cards in the back that how to get there. Many videos, sound biblical content that will help aid in our spiritual growth to combat the fiery darts of Satan. But again, we need to ask the question, should we allow ourselves to be entertained by the things that sent Jesus to the cross? Now, it may be the case this evening that you have been allowing things to entertain you that you had no business to allow entertain you. that you're watching things or allowing the media to influence you in such a way that it's drawing you, pulling you further away from Christ rather than drawing you closer to Christ. I would encourage you that if that is the case, you the decision tonight to turn from that lifestyle, those choices, make the decision to start following God and start finding things to put in your life that will aid in you growing spiritually, that will help strengthen your walk with God, rather than finding things that will help pull you away. Now, we haven't talked a lot tonight about the gospel or what Jesus Christ did, but it may be the case here that some of you tonight are not Christians. And if that's the case, I encourage you to find someone here and ask them about the gospel and ask what it takes to become a Christian. But it may be the case tonight that you're in need of prayer. Prayer to strengthen yourselves and to become stronger to walk more boldly and more righteously in the eyes of God. If you have any need, I ask you please come as we stand and as we sing.